San Francisco, we bring you an address by Charles A. Lindbergh, who speaks tonight before a meeting of the America First Committee. The subject of Mr. Lindbergh's address is America First in the World Today. Mr. Lindbergh.
The longer this war in Europe continues, the more confused its issues become. When it started, Germany and Russia were lined up against England and France. Now, less than 2 years later, we find Russia and England fighting France and Germany. Winter before last, when Russia was fighting Finland, the interventionists demanded that we send all possible aid to Finland. Now, when Russia is fighting Finland again, they demand that we send all possible aid to Russia. The murderers and plunderers of yesterday are accepted as the valiant defenders of civilization today. And the valiant defenders of yesterday have become the wicked aggressors of today. Finland and France are now our enemies. Russia, our friend. We have been asked to defend the English way of life and the Chinese way of life. We are now asked to defend the Russian way of life. I ask you, is the Russian way of life our way of life? Are we to be responsible for the policies of Stalin as well as for those of Churchill and Chiang Kai-shek? No. 2 weeks ago, the interventionists were accusing the America First Committee of associating with the subversive influence of communism. Now, I suppose it is our turn to ask whose meetings the communists attend. The America First Committee has never accepted communists or fascists in its membership. We have never changed our policy in this respect. We accept no foreign way of life and no foreign ideologies. We reject them all. But the idealists who have been shouting against the horrors of Nazi Germany are now ready to welcome Soviet Russia as an ally. They are ready to join with a nation whose record of cruelty, bloodshed, and barbarism is without parallel in modern history. The entire record of this war is a record of hypocrisy and confusion. When Germany was a republic, France and England refused her simplest requests. But when she turned into a fascist state, they let her do as she pleased. When German troops marched into the Rhineland, France and England made no move. But after the Siegfried Line was built, they declared war. We in America were then told that the future of civilization depended upon preserving the spirit of France. But the Christians and humanitarians who once called on us for aid to France now sit complacently by and watch her children starve. 1 month, we hear that England and France will fight to the death against the gangster tactics of Germany. The next month, we hear that the British Navy has turned its guns on the French fleet, and that French aircraft are dropping bombs on Gibraltar. 1 year, a war is declared without consulting America. The next year, we are told that America is responsible for that war. 1 year, we are called Uncle Shylock. And the next year, we are asked for the loan of billions of dollars. If we had gone to war a few months ago, France would have been with us, and Russia would have been on the other side. If we go to war now, Russia will be with us, and France may be on the other side. At the moment, no one seems sure whether Japan would rather fight Russia or fight us. Some of our American interventionists want to fight Germany, and some want to fight Japan. Judging from Europe's record, if we enter this war, we can't be sure whether we will have Russia or Germany for a partner by the time we finish it. We don't even know whether we will end up with France or England on our side. It is quite possible that we would find ourselves alone fighting the entire world before it was over. The only sensible thing for us to do is to build an impregnable defense for America and keep this hemisphere at peace. As long as our government insists on interfering with the affairs of Europe, this confusion will continue. It may be a new experience for our generation here in America, but confusion is nothing new to the nations of the old world. Jefferson understood that when he said, "They are nations of eternal war." Washington understood it when he warned us against European entanglements. These European wars have been going on for centuries, and there is certainly no indication that they will stop now. Every major country in Europe has fought every other major country in Europe time and time again. In one generation, England and Germany fight France. In another generation, France and England fight Germany. In a third generation, Germany and France fight England. First we hear that Napoleon is going to conquer the world. Then Stalin constitutes our major menace. And now it is Hitler. But it is interesting to note that the only time this country was ever invaded, it was not by Germany or Russia or France. Confusion is not an accidental fact in this war. It is a major weapon of the interventionists. They have flooded this country with propaganda intended to confuse us. Propaganda for the purpose of drawing us into war. Our press, our radio, our bookstalls, and our theaters are full of it. Our news is governed more by the formulas of propaganda than it is by the factual developments of the war. For instance, the news of almost every campaign of the war has followed a fixed formula. First, there are headlines of German aggression. Then, unlimited aid is promised to the attacked nation. Then, for a few days, we are encouraged by Allied successes. And someone says it is the turning point of the war. Then, if there are any Allied forces present, they evacuate. Then, the defending armies collapse. Finally, an announcement is made that the campaign was really a victory for the British because it upset the time schedule of the German army. is no reflection on the British soldier. He has shown great courage, but he has been put in impossible positions, and he has been appallingly equipped. Try this formula on the campaigns to date and see how many it fits. Try it on Poland, Norway, Holland and Belgium, France, Yugoslavia, and Greece. Try it on the Russian campaign when it is over. Here in America, all news that will create support for England is exaggerated. All news that will not is suppressed. A refugee who steps from the gangplank and advocates war is acclaimed as a defender of freedom. A native-born American who opposes war is called a fifth columnist. There is another propaganda formula, a more fundamental one, that you can apply to all the news you read about this war. It is that the British position must be good enough to make us think England will eventually win, and bad enough to persuade us to assist it. If the British position appears too good, we may not lease and lend with sufficient generosity. If it appears too bad, we may think it necessary to concentrate on our own defenses. If these propaganda formulas are successful in misleading the American people, we will enter the war. On the other hand, if our people understand the facts behind this propaganda, our entrance into the war is unlikely. Let us look at some of these facts. Let us take the salient facts in the latest turn of the war, the Russian-German conflict. You remember that the relationship between Germany and Russia had been close to the breaking point for years before the conference at Munich in 1938. Russia was not even represented at that conference. When I was in Czechoslovakia in September 1938, I saw Russian bombing planes on Czech airfields. Bombers that had been sent to fight if Germany invaded Czechoslovakia. Have you ever stopped to think why war did not break out between Russia and Germany at that time? Have you ever stopped to realize that Russia and Germany would have been at each other's throats 2 years ago had it not been for the interventionist interference of England and France? This conflict between Germany and Russia, which the interventionists all applaud now, would have taken place then if only they had shown a little more insight. The German armies were prepared to march eastward. But what happened? Did the interventionists welcome such a move then as they do now? They did not. They beguiled Poland into a futile war. And when Germany turned east, they attacked her in the west. Instead of pushing her on to Russia, they drew the German onslaught to their own countries. They postponed the inevitable conflict between Russia and Germany and forced instead a conflict between Germany, France, and England, a conflict for which France and England were completely unprepared. Have you ever stopped to consider what interventionist leadership has done to this world and how ineffective and disastrous it has been? Intervention with sanctions in the war between Italy and Abyssinia did not save Abyssinia. It simply threw Italy into Germany's open arms. Intervention by England and France in the war between Germany and Poland did not save Poland. It postponed the war between Germany and Russia and brought the defeat of France and the devastation of England. The attitude of American interventionists toward Japan forced that country, too, into the arms of the Axis. If they had had their way, Germany would be fighting us today instead of Russia. The record of the interventionists has been a record of abject failure. They cannot point to a single important instance of success in connection with this war. I was in Siberia in 1931 and in Western Russia in 1933 and 1938. I made a number of trips through Germany in 1936, 1937, and 1938. I lived for 2 years in England and for 1 year in France. When I speak of Europe, I speak from first-hand knowledge of conditions there. As you know, I have opposed a military alliance between the United States and England. If the question had arisen, I would have opposed even more strongly a military alliance between the United States and Germany. But I tell you that I would 100 times rather see my country ally herself with England or even with Germany, with all of her faults, than with the cruelty, the godlessness, and the barbarism that exists in Soviet Russia. An alliance between the United States and Russia should be opposed by every American, by every Christian, and by every humanitarian in this country. The fundamental point is that we do not want to ally ourselves with Russia or Germany or England or with any foreign power that seeks to embroil us in the quarrels and chaos of Europe. We do not want to fight for the Russian way of life or the German way of life or the English way of life or any way of life except our own. Men and women of California, why should the United States of America be divided by these eternal European wars? Why should the question ever arise as to whether we will fight for England or France or Germany or Russia? We in America descend from every one of these nations. We will never agree among ourselves as to the rights and wrongs of their quarrels. But there is one thing upon which we can agree, upon which we are not divided, and that is that we are ready to fight for America if the need should ever arise. Why dissipate our unity and strength here at home in an attempt to force us into another European war? Why give up an impregnable position in America for a hazardous and untenable position in Europe? Why bring this country the chaos, the intolerance, and the hatred that will inevitably come from a foreign war? No one has attempted to attack us, and if we prepare ourselves properly, no one will be in a position to attack us. It is not a question of whether Hitler would like to invade America. It is not a question of trusting promises that may be broken. I never have, and I do not now recommend, basing the security of our nation on the promises of any man or any foreign government. Our security should rest on the strength and character and arms of our own people.
The point is that if we prepare intelligently, regardless of promises or treaties or anything that may be done in Europe, this country is strong enough and able enough to take care of itself. We have taken care of ourselves when we were far weaker than we are today. And we can do it again. The real defeatist in America is the man who says that this nation cannot survive alone. The United States is at a crossroad in its history. The War Party advocates that we give up the independence our forefathers won, and that we merge our destiny again with the nations of the old world, taking on our shoulders all the wars and quarrels and problems that have been theirs for 1,000 years. We on this platform represent people who believe in an independent destiny for America. We have banded together to form the America First Committee, which stands firmly in opposition to the War Party and intervention. Our principles are open and clear. We stand for a unified nation behind an impregnable defense and an independent destiny for America. If you believe in these principles, we ask you to join our committee. The crisis is here, and we need your support that we may pass on to our children the free and independent destiny, the free and independent heritage we received from our forefathers. I thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Charles A. Lindbergh speaking from Civic Auditorium in San Francisco. This program originated through the Special Events Division of Station KFRC, Mutual's Donnelly affiliate in San Francisco. We return you now to our main studios.